To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Today we look to our Savior's words in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 51, as follows. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, who bids us Christians bring forth fruit with patience. Dear friends in Christ, if there's one affliction that especially affects America in 2018, it may be impatience. Americans are chronically impatient. They don't like to wait. And advances in technology, of course, only aggravates the problem. A recent Pew study said that the hyper-connected world in which we live has led people now to expect instant gratification of their every desire and to be very unhappy if they don't get it. It's similar, they said, in that way to illegal drugs. You can now stream movies to your phone, of course, but even that had better be fast. The study found that most people, if they don't get their upload within 10 seconds, will go somewhere else. Impatience may be worse than it ever was, but it's certainly nothing new. In today's text that I just read for you, we have a monumental example of impatience that took place nearly 2,000 years ago. By way of contrast, we're also shown the long-suffering mercy of God's chosen Redeemer, Jesus Christ. This morning we consider the theme, A Patient Savior for an Impatient World. It was not long before Jesus' passion was set to commence. Jesus was on his final journey from Galilee up to Jerusalem. It was the closing scene of our Savior's life, that final period that would end with his glorious reascension to the right hand of his Father in heaven. Jesus knew very well what awaited him in Jerusalem, but he went calmly forward. He was patient, but he was about the only one who was. Everyone else seemed to be in a hurry. The Samaritans, for example, they were impatient to get rid of Jesus. The Samaritans knew who he was. By this time, everyone in Palestine did. And because they were a sect that was at odds with the Jewish religion, and because Jesus was the Jewish Messiah on his way to the Jewish capital of Jerusalem, they had no time for him. Other travelers they would receive, albeit grudgingly, but not Jesus. Once again, for our Lord, there was no room in the inn. As Isaiah aptly predicted, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So many people in our day and age take exactly the same attitude toward Jesus. They have no time for him in their lives. They are offended by a Savior who confronts them with their sinfulness. So they tell him to keep moving, to take his message somewhere else. Are you and I like that? Not receiving Jesus when we have the opportunity? Shunting him aside? Allowing the rush and the crush of our daily lives to crowd Jesus out? Unwilling to accept the demands of real discipleship? Impatient to be rid of Jesus? May it never be. The last passage in our text is one of the most chilling warnings in all of Scripture. It reads simply, And they went to another village. Rejected by this community of the Samaritans, Christ in his gospel went elsewhere. How would you like to be them on the last day? How would you like to be them on the day of judgment and be known as the town that rejected the Savior? Can you imagine? We had the Redeemer of mankind right at our city limits, and we told him to go away. God forbid that we, through our unbelief or indifference, may ever tell our Savior to go away. Jesus' own disciples weren't really much better, were they? While the Samaritans were impatient to be rid of Jesus, the disciples, in turn, were impatient to get rid of the Samaritans. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" It may be that James and John were the two messengers that Jesus had sent ahead of him into the village. In any case, they were outraged at the town's cavalier rejection of the Savior. By the way, what do you think it was that made James and John think about the prophet Elijah? They had just seen the prophet Elijah with their own eyes on the Mount of Transfiguration not many days previously. And they were well acquainted with the account in 2 Kings where Elijah called down God's fire from heaven to consume those soldiers that had been sent to him by wicked King Ahaziah. And this was the exact punishment that those impatient disciples thought would be perfect for the people of the Samaritan village. As Christians, we need to be warned and admonished by the example of these overzealous disciples. Some people refer to this as the brother of the prodigal son syndrome. It describes the self-righteous contempt that some religious people feel toward the non-religious. But did Jesus commend James and John for their zeal? Just the opposite. He turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of." In contrast to the impatience of the unbelieving world and our own oftentimes impatient attitude, our text shows us a Savior who patiently offers salvation to one and all. I'd like to back up for a moment to verse 51 of our text because so much is revealed there. "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." What patience lies in that simple sentence alone. I'd like you to think for a moment of the most difficult experience you've ever gone through in your life. Have you got it? Now think how much more difficult that would have been if you had known ahead of time everything you were going to have to endure. Truly, it's a great blessing the Lord does not allow us to see into the future. But Jesus could see the future. Jesus knew what lay ahead of him. He saw every step of the way. He knew exactly the suffering he was going to have to endure. And despite all that, our text says, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And the Greek word there is revealing. It means to make something steadfast and immovable, like setting a post into concrete. Jesus had something wonderful to look forward to. He would be reascending to his place of glory at the right hand of his heavenly Father. But he knew that between now and that glorious reunion lay a horrible ordeal. Christ going to his Father meant a pilgrimage through the Garden of Gethsemane, through Mount Calvary, through Joseph's garden tomb. And Jesus' rock-solid determination was the evidence of his great love for you and his great patience toward you. For he would allow nothing to sway him from that mission to redeem you. And he said, "The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." How patient our Savior has been toward you and me, hasn't he? Throughout lives marked by sin and disobedience and rebellion, our Lord Jesus has been with us every day from the rising of the sun to its setting and through the long watches of the night. He is there. Each day when we cry to him in repentance that we have failed again, we have fallen again, we have sinned again, he hears us, and he responds each time, "My son, my daughter, fear not. Be of good courage. Your sins are forgiven you. You shall not die, but live." Many a repentant tear has been shed by singing the Lenten hymn, in which we say, O wondrous love, whose depth no heart hath sounded, that brought thee here by foes and thieves surrounded. All worldly pleasures heedless I was trying, while thou wert dying. Truly Jesus is a patient Savior for an impatient world. He patiently bore the suffering of the cross for our sake. He patiently forgives us each day all of our sins when we turn to Him in repentance. Each day will bring to us new opportunities to learn from our patient Master. Let's not waste them. He's been patient and merciful toward us. Let us endeavor with patience to bring the good news of His glorious gospel to as many people as we can before we join Him forever in eternity. Amen. We conclude this morning with stanzas 7, 12, and 15 of hymn 439. Hymn 439, 7, 12, 15.
There's a fan bus tonight. The team will go at 5:10 and